The Lucas County Council Podcast is a co-production of WGTE Public Media and the Lucas County Council Program, with generous support from an Ohio Attorney General's Office grant award. More information at causakids.net.
Welcome to the Lucas County CASA Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea de la Roca, and CASA's Community Engagement and Volunteer Recruitment Coordinator. CASA stands for Court Appointed Special Advocates. If you join us for our first episode, you'll remember we explore the roots of the Lucas County CASA program, how it became the first in Ohio and one of the earliest in the nation, thanks to the vision of Judge Andy Devine and the Junior League of Toledo. We also had the honor of hearing from Judge Linda Knapp, who shared powerful insights on the juvenile justice system, the critical role of CASA volunteers in court, and why she believes in the mission of advocating for children's best interest. CASA Director Chris Carrier talked about CASA's commitment to providing every abused or neglected child with a consistent, well-trained advocate, and how that work is grounded in a vision of every child thriving in a safe, loving home. If you miss it, be sure to go back and listen. But today, we are diving even deeper into what it takes to be a CASA volunteer, understanding the juvenile court dependency, abuse, and neglect case flowchart, and which children are assigned a CASA volunteer. Let's get started. Bringing a wealth of experience to this discussion is CASA Director Chris Carrier. The Lucas County CASA program trains volunteers to advocate for abused children navigating the juvenile court system. For someone interested in becoming a CASA volunteer, what does the training process look like from start to finish?
The CASA trainees participate in an initial training session consisting of a combination of online reading and activities, as well as in-person classes. After that training session is complete, the CASA trainees are sworn in during a ceremony at the Lucas County Juvenile Court and then become CASA volunteers. During that first year as a CASA volunteer, they complete what we call the four core classes. These are two-hour trainings. They're held via Zoom quarterly and focus specifically on topics we touched on during that initial training session, but that the CASAs may need additional guidance with. After that first year, CASA volunteers need to complete a minimum of 12 training hours per year to stay compliant, but we offer tons of free trainings online, in person, as well as throughout the community with other agencies.
How long is the initial training and how is it structured in terms of time commitment?
The initial training is currently a six-week session. It consists of online curriculum and in-person classes. The online portion provides weekly reading assignments and videos that need to be completed. You could do this at the trainee's pace, and then the in-person classes are held one evening a week from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m.
How does CASA make the training flexible and accessible for people with busy schedules?
People can get the online portion done at their pace based on their personal schedules. We just ask that each trainee have the reading completed and the videos watched before the next in-person class. We will review that material and answer any questions that arise when we are all together.
What are some of the key topics covered during training?
So we cover domestic violence, substance use, mental health, trauma, poverty, and what it means to provide minimum sufficient level of care. These topics are found in just about every case that we touch and are important for our trainees to learn and understand how each of these, separately and in combination with each other, affect the parents and the children, so we know how to navigate the situations, provide support, and search out resources for them.
During training, CASA volunteers are taught advocacy and investigation skills. Can you explain what that means in a practical sense?
We teach trainees how to interview parents, foster parents, caseworkers, the children, and anyone else that may be involved in the case. They learn what documents are important for them to obtain and review, and we provide them with a guide as to what services would be available for the parents and children to participate in based on what they've learned about the family and their circumstances. The trainees also get to participate in group exercises using case studies, so they learn how to effectively conduct those interviews and determine what the children's needs are based on the facts in those case studies.
Volunteers also learn how to write reports for the court. What kind of guidance do they receive on that?
We have an entire class dedicated to report writing during that initial session, and it's also one of the four core classes, too. So I teach the trainees exactly how to write a report, where they can find the information they need to fill in the blank, so to speak, and provide them with an easy to follow along format. After the class, one of our CASA coaches helps them individually each time they need to write a report to the court. And usually, CASA volunteers are writing 1 to 2 reports during the entire case.
This isn't just lecture-based training. It's interactive and includes case studies. Can you talk about how that helps volunteers build confidence and skills?
We currently have 4 case studies that provide the trainees with real-life situations based on cases we have seen in our court. The trainees are able to work together in groups to determine the flow of their investigation, such as who needs to be interviewed, what documents need to be requested, and then they decide on the recommendations that they would make to the court regarding custody, visitation, and services that should be offered to the parents and children. So working together really helps them build their confidence as they're able to ping ideas off of each other and then take what we have taught them in class and what they've read online and then put it into practice.
Once the training is complete, volunteers are officially sworn in. What does that ceremony mean, both symbolically and legally?
The swearing-in ceremony solidifies the CASA volunteers' commitment to the program and to the children they will serve. They indicate that they're willing to stand up for the best interests of children, children who don't have a voice, and zealously advocate for them. They promise to be the one that the children can count on as they navigate this child welfare system. Legally, the CASA volunteers become sworn officers of the court, and they take the oath stating that they will fulfill all of their duties until the children in their cases find permanency.
Well, my name is Desiree Rayford, and I am a CASA, and what I do is that I make decisions that's in the best interest of the child. I've been a CASA for over a year, and what brought me to this journey is that it was something that I always wanted to do, but I was working at the time, and once I retired, I just went full force and decided I was going to take the class and I was going to go through the process to be a CASA. I think every story is a memorable story. Every event is a memorable event. Every situation is memorable. With that being said, I don't think any situation sits above the next one.
You're listening to the Lucas County CASA podcast. I'm your host, Andrea de la Roca. At its core, the juvenile court is more than just a courtroom. It's a vital part of the community working to protect children at risk of abuse and neglect. The court's mission is to lead that effort by working with families, service providers, and community members to assess risk and coordinate services, ultimately striving for safe, stable, and permanent families for children. Today, we're diving into how that mission comes to life and the role CASA plays in making it happen. With me today is CASA Director Chris Carrier. Chris, can you walk us through what triggers a dependency, abuse, and neglect case? When does the process officially begin in the juvenile court?
When a referral is called in to Lucas County Children's Services, they do an investigation to determine if there is imminent risk of harm to the child. Based on what they uncover in that investigation, they then may ask for the court to step in. The court officially becomes involved with the family when Lucas County Children's Services files a complaint to the court and an emergency shelter care hearing is held.
One of the first formal court proceedings is the emergency shelter care hearing. What happens during that hearing and what's the CASA's role?
The emergency shelter care hearing is a probable cause hearing where the agency presents allegations from the referral indicating that there is imminent risk of harm to the child and removal or protective supervision is necessary to protect the child. A CASA staff attorney attends this hearing and advocates for what is in the best interest of the child at that time. The attorney then asks the court to appoint a CASA for the case.
At what point is a CASA assigned to a case, and what do they do right away?
A CASA gets appointed to the case as quickly as possible, and they begin their investigation immediately. We encourage them to contact the caseworker first to get pertinent information, such as where the children are placed, and contact information for the parents.
What does an independent investigation by a CASA volunteer involve, especially in the early stages of a case?
CASA volunteers must perform independent investigations, meaning that we do not just piggyback off of the agency's investigation. We are a separate entity and have the best interest of the children as our primary goal. In the beginning of a case, CASAs are busy interviewing the parents, foster parents, relatives, and any other adult who is involved in the case to uncover the circumstances that brought this case to court. They visit the child, build a relationship, and learn his or her needs. There's a lot of work to be done in the first 4 weeks of a case prior to the adjudication disposition hearing.
Are there several hearings involved in dependency, abuse, and neglected cases?
There are, and I just mentioned one of them, the adjudication disposition hearing. This hearing typically takes place 30 days after the emergency shelter care hearing, and it's a two-part hearing. The first part, the adjudication, is where the court determines if the child is abused, neglected, or dependent based on legal factors. If the child is adjudicated one of those, then the hearing goes into the second part, the disposition. This is where the CASA volunteer comes in. Based on the CASA's independent investigation, he or she has written a report to the court giving recommendations related to who should have custody of the child right now, what visitation for the parents should be, and what other case plan services should be offered to the family. The court takes these recommendations very seriously and then makes its orders based on all the evidence presented during that hearing as well as the CASA's recommendations. The next hearing is called a reasonable efforts review. And this is a hearing where Children's Services needs to show the court that they are making reasonable efforts to engage parents and children in the services that were determined in their case plan. The CASA volunteer gives a verbal update as to how the children are doing, but no formal report is required. And this hearing usually takes place about 6 months into the case. The next hearing is the annual review. And this hearing takes place 1 year after the case has begun. So at this hearing, various options could be presented. Perhaps it's appropriate for reunification at this time, or maybe parents need a little more help, so the agency asks for an extension. Sometimes legal custody is granted to a non-parent at this hearing, and sometimes the agency asks for the case to be set for a permanent custody trial instead. A report is typically not needed for this hearing, but the court does want to know if the CASA is in agreement with what the agency is asking. Other hearings that the CASA may participate in are contested legal custody trials or permanent custody trials. Both of these hearings require the CASAs to write reports, and in a contested legal custody trial, the CASA may have to testify, but in permanent custody trials, the CASA will always testify.
CASA volunteers are expected to visit the child monthly and encouraged to attend staffings every 90 days. Why is the consistency so important for the child and for the court?
During the life of the case, there may be multiple caseworkers on the case. There may be different therapists. Depending on the age of the child and when the case opens, a child may even switch teachers during the case. The CASA is the only person that is with the child from the beginning of the case to the end. They are able to build a strong relationship with the child and truly understand their needs and advocate for their best interests. The court looks to the CASA because it knows that the CASA has been with the child since day one and has done a thorough independent investigation.
CASA volunteers write reports before certain hearings. What goes into that report and how does the judge or magistrate use it?
When writing a report, the CASA volunteer gives a summary of how the case came into court, where the children are placed, who they have interviewed, what documents they received and reviewed, and how often and where the CASA has visited the children. The report provides information on what the CASA has learned through those interviews, observations, as well as reviewing the records that they've requested. It lets the court know specifically how the children are doing, what their wishes are, and any concerns they may have. The report also provides recommendations to the court as to what is in the best interest of the children as it relates to who should have custody, what visitation for the parents should be, and what, if any, services are needed for the parents and the children. The court takes this report very seriously as they understand that the CASA's main focus is the best interest of the children, and they give the CASA's recommendations a lot of weight when making their decisions.
Before a motion for permanency is filed, there is a permanency planning conference. What is that and how does a CASA volunteer participate in planning for a child's long-term placement?
A permanency planning conference is something that Lucas County Children's Services holds. It's a meeting with the parents and the agency where everyone talks about what the plan is regarding custody of the child long-term. The CASA is invited to the meeting, but it's not mandatory for them to attend. If they do attend, they're able to speak about what they believe would be in the best interest for this child permanently. The CASA can share what they've learned in their investigation and how the decision that's being made at that meeting will affect the children in the case, either positively or negatively, long term.
From complaint to permanency, this process can take up to 2 years or more. What are the biggest takeaways you want listeners to understand about how CASA volunteers contribute to this process?
CASA volunteers advocate for the children's needs, wants, and desires from the beginning of the case to the end. They are the one constant person in these children's lives who continuously advocate for them. Without CASA volunteers, the children in these cases wouldn't have a voice in what happens to them in the child welfare system.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Lucas County CASA podcast. Today we explore what it truly takes to become a CASA volunteer, from the intensive training to the courtroom swearing-in ceremony. It's a commitment that asks a lot, but it gives even more to the children, to the families, and our community. CASA volunteers step into the life of children during some of their most uncertain moments, and they do it with compassion, dedication, and purpose. If today's episode sparks something in you, whether it's a curiosity, a calling, or even a small sense of, oh, I could do that, we encourage you to visit CASAKids.net. Again, CASAKids.net. The CASA information session date, the volunteer application, and the training schedule are available on our website. If you need assistance with the application process or prefer to speak with someone about this volunteer opportunity, please call our office at 419-213-6753. Again, 419-213-6753. Remember, one person can make a powerful impact. Why not let that person be you? Until the next time, thank you for listening and thank you for caring.
The Lucas County CASA podcast highlights how the power of one person can transform the lives of abused children in our community. This podcast is a co-production of WGTE Public Media and the Lucas County CASA program, with generous support from an Ohio Attorney General's Office grant award. All episodes are posted on WGTE.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Learn more about the Lucas County CASA program at CASAKids.net.